Roy Matlock Jr. here. If you're just tuning in, this is the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour, where we talk about money and, you know, how to make it and how to keep it and how to invest it, that kind of thing. And this is kind of our retirement show today about how do you pull money, some of the things you need to avoid and stuff like that. So the last, we have in market risk. We talked about that. We have inflation risk. So you have to get involved and have some things in the market in order to keep up with inflation. That's the mindset. You know, if you buy stocks, tended to be better about, you know, keeping up with inflation and real estate, things like that. And so we want to find things that not only pay us an income, but have appreciation on top of that. And then lastly, I see people all the time, and, you know, and as they get older, it's just like me. I'm 60. I think I'm much younger, but I'm actually 60. And at 60 years old, one of the things that you think about is, what if something happened to me? Okay. I know it's going to happen one day. What if something happens? How do I have my kids set up? All right. To where I can pass money, you know, to my children or to a charity, whatever I want to do, in an easy way. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that right now. And then we're going to get into continuing down this confident path, some investment choices, stuff like that. So here's some of the things that happen. All right. So I'm going to give you an example of what I do with my money. So you have basically two types of accounts when you look at probate and inheritances and stuff like that. You have the type that you can name beneficiaries on, to where it directly avoids probate. Things like your IRA, your 401k, life insurance, annuities, things like that. And so what those accounts do is you name a beneficiary, and then that beneficiary can get that money regardless of whether or not you have a bunch of debt on your estate or anything like that. Then you've got other type of accounts, your assets. Maybe they're regular mutual funds. Maybe you got a rental property, you got stuff like that, okay, that are in your estate. So that right there is doesn't avoid probate, but it goes in your estate. All right. So then you have to settle the estate. So now, what do I do for, you know, my estate planning? Well, the first thing that I did was I set up a living trust. And what a living trust is a way to take those non-retirement assets, non-probate avoiding assets, and stick it into a trust. Now, what the trust does is basically dictate what happens when you die. And so you can set things up to have what we call a spendthrift clause, which is one of the things that I have in mind. So what is spendthrift? Well, you know, if you've got millions of dollars and stuff like that, you don't want your kids to go blow through it. All right. So my trust, what I did was I said, well, when I pass, they will get 25% of the money. The rest of it will remain invested, and they can get another chance in 10 years. And so something happens to me, they get 25%, the rest of it's invested. 10 years later, if they blew through it the first time, they get a second chance. And the good news is, if the markets are doing well and it's invested properly, 10 years later, the account will be bigger even after giving up the 25%. And so then it just keeps on going like that. The next thing that I did was I made my, rather than individually passing this money on, it went into what's called an irrevocable trust. Now, what does that trust do? Well, the trust, by doing that, it has the ability to avoid lawsuits and divorces and stuff like that, because the trust is an entity and it owns the money. Now, am I a lawyer? No, I'm not a lawyer. But I've done a lot of this stuff and referred this to people. You always want to get legal advice, and you can't be taking all your advice from the guy on the radio. But I understand this stuff because I set it up for myself. And then I set up what's called a life insurance trust. And why did I do that? Well, a life insurance trust will be paid outside of my estate. Now, what is that for? Well, who knows where estate taxes are going to go one day? But if you've got some money, the last thing you want to do is say, here you go, Mr. Government, take 50% of my money. okay, that I worked for and I'd already paid taxes on to get to begin with. So I paid income taxes, and now you're going to take the money that I was going to leave behind? All right. No, I don't want to do that. So then I set up a life insurance trust designed to be able to pay potential estate taxes. So I did that kind of thing. So when I go through and I start looking at inheritance and probate risk, let me give you an example. I had a client just recently that they named their children's the beneficiary. Well, the next thing you know, the grandfather did this. Well, that sounded like a great idea to give a grandkid, but the grandkid was underage. All right. So now guess what you got? Oh, you got another problem. You got to go to probate court in order to get all this fixed. All right. And set up all this stuff. So you want to, rather than that, if you had a trust, the trust could be the beneficiary, and then the trust could dictate to send money to the kid. Right? So there's all these different things that go into this. And so when I meet with people, what I try to do is take a look at, okay, today we're retiring. What are we going to do next? Well, we got to get an income plan in place that's going to allow you to keep up with inflation, never run out of money. And then we're going to do these things with the idea that we're going to protect. We're going to protect that income. We're going to protect you against, you know, inflation by doing things that typically do better with when inflation kicks in and keeps up more. And then what we're going to do is we're going to have a taxation plan to where we can cut your taxes in any way we can. I've got people that I've worked with where by reevaluating their whole assets and things like that, to where they've been living and not paying taxes hardly ever, all right, and still having a good income. And so. Avoiding taxes, you know, that RMD that's going to be happening at one time at 72, required minimum distribution. How do we want to do that? All these different things. So what we do is I sit down and I look at it. And if you're at or near retirement, these are areas that you need to know about, because if you don't know about it, it will hurt you. I've always heard that. Wow, what you don't know won't hurt. No, it does hurt you. And so if you would like to find out more and get a complete overview analysis of what you're doing when it comes to your money, go to my website. Download some of the resources to begin with. Listen to some of the previous shows, which will allow you to get more educated, more familiar with the way we do business. And then if you want help, you can call our office, 615-843-2999, 615-843-2999. Or you can fill out one of the forms and we'll have someone follow back up with you and show you how to make this thing happen. And so keep this in mind, guys, that everything you do, you have different choices. Always. Choices are the key. So you want to make good choices. So what are some of the building blocks of a confident retirement plan? The first one is, do you have a high degree of certainty that you're going to be able to pay your bills, right? Hey, if you know you can quit and it's going to be okay, and you have, and you feel pretty certain about that, and you've got, you know, the day-to-day necessities, food, housing, transportation, health care, you know you can pay for that, all right? You've got protected and non-protected income sources for like a sustainable lifetime income. Guess what? You're confident. You feel great. Life is good. All right. The next thing is, what are your lifestyle issues? What are optional expenses? The lifestyle block includes discretionary spending, the stuff you can live without, you know, such as travel or, you know, spending money on the grandkids, eating out, entertainment. All right. So when we go out and do things, what we want to do is we want to have a plan, our normal plan. And then we can budget in. Can we do some of these extra things? We don't want to go out there and blow all of our money and then be worried one day because we were buying our kids stuff and doing things like that. And so anyway, so what constitutes a lifestyle expense will vary. You know, I love to play golf. All right. So I'm going to make sure that's built into my lifestyle. So the point is that over time you get to that point. The third one is an emergency cushion. An emergency fund gives you more confidence. All right. Think about this. If you're confident, you don't worry. Isn't that a much better way? All right. So what you want to do is have an emergency fund set aside, and you want to, you know, include that in there. So with that being said, guys, we'll be right back. I hope you're enjoying the show. My name's Roy Matlock Jr. We'll talk to you in a minute.